Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
All right, how many have invited someone for the Father's Day bash next week? Got a few hands up. You have 1 week left. 6 days, 7 days and counting, and we're going to have a great time. How many are ready to throw an axe? At our men's conference, they had axe throwing. I should have quit after my first throw. Very first time, nailed it almost dead center. My next 14 throws, I missed every one, you know. So, luck of the draw. Hey, we're so glad you're here with us today. And right after church, remember to pick up your sack lunch just to help support those kids. Many of you pre-ordered those. Get your sack lunch for the kids to go to kids camp. Summer is a time of growth. The plants, the trees, crops, they all grow. And we want summer to be a time of growth for us as followers of Jesus Christ, because many times what happens, by the time people come to the end of summer, they're so dry, so frazzled, so worn out from all of summer's activities that they're just trying to grasp and gasp for life and saying, God, help me make it through. And we don't want summer to go all 3 months, come to the fall and say, man, I really need God to fill me up. God wants this summer to be a season of growth in our lives. And so last week, we started a mini-series. We looked at what does it take for us to make summer a season of growth, and we said we needed to embrace the elements for growth. And there were four of them we looked at. We talked about heat, which represents trials. We grow through difficult times. We grow through pain and struggle. Very little grows on the mountaintop, but things grow in the valleys, and it's in those valley times of life that we grow. The second thing we need is water, which symbolizes the presence of God. We need to thirst after God, as if we're in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. When we have a thirst for God, for His presence through prayer and the Word, we grow. The fertilizer stands for the stuff that people do to us, the junk that people do. You know, and this is very similar to the trials, to the heat, but it's different because it takes our love for God to a whole new level. Because the second commandment is love your neighbor as yourself, and Jesus said it's like the first commandment. And so how we respond to difficult people is a way that you and I grow. And then the last thing we looked at, we talked about the good soil, which represents a teachable heart. We need to have a heart that says, God, whatever you want to say to me, I'll obey, I'll do it no matter what. This morning, we're going to take a look at the last two things that you and I need to do to make this summertime a season of growth. You can take your sermon outline on the back of your bulletin. Are you ready to go? All right. Number two, if you and I want to grow, we need rest from activity. We need rest from activity. Plants stop doing photosynthesis at night due to the absence of sunlight. If a plant is provided strong enough light 24/7, it will continue the process of photosynthesis nonstop. And in the short term, it will grow under 24/7 light, but in the long term, it's negatively affected and it hinders the growth. So that's why the plants, they need night, they need a time of rest. And friends, that's the same thing for you and I. We need a time of rest in our life. This is accomplished in two different ways. Letter A is we need to keep the Sabbath. We need to keep the Sabbath, keep the Lord's Day. With the onset of summer, there seems to be more work. Mowing the lawn, gardening, you know, taking care of the flower beds. There's planting the fields, there's branding the calves. In addition, we take up outdoor projects. Maybe we're going to paint the house, stain the fence, put in new landscape, lay a new cement pad for our camper, our RV. In the summertime, we amp up the projects, we amp up the activity. There's always more to do. And sometimes we find ourselves with more work to do than time in the week. And what do? To get it all done? We just say, well, I'm going to work 7 days a week. I'm going to work more and more and more to get it all in. And the problem with that is that that is not how God intended it to be. The Lord has set up a holy rhythm for you and I to march to. And Moses writes about this in the book of Exodus. Chapter 20, verse 8 through 11, he says, "Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, for in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he hallowed it." In your notes, God set up a holy rhythm for us to march through, and this is the pattern. Write this down. I don't think we put it in there, but it's really simple. Work six, rest one. Work six, rest one. Say it with me. Work six, rest one. Say it again. All right, you got it. That's God's pattern. How many know that's easier to say than to do? Because when you try to sit back and relax in your recliner or take some extra time on Sunday, you just have all those things rolling around in your mind of what I need to do. Do you realize this was so important that God even said in the harvest time, when you're trying to get the crop in before winter comes, even in the harvest time, take the Sabbath off. That's how important it is. We need to work six and rest one. Some of us have no problem tithing our income to the Lord. We trust that God can do more with 90% than we can do with 100%. And so we'll say, yeah, God, I'll give you 10% of my income. But you know, when it comes to this area of the Sabbath, it's like we don't feel God can do more with 6 days than I can do with seven. It's a matter of trust. If you believe in the principle of tithing, then you can believe in the principle of rest on the Sabbath, that God can help you get enough done on the 6 days of the week so you can take one day for rest and for worship. And keeping the Sabbath isn't just coming to church and then going out and doing your projects. It is taking a day of rest from your work. The problem is that when we don't do this, is the result of it. And we see the result in Exodus 35, verse 2. Moses again writes, "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death." Okay, according to Jewish law, if someone worked on the Sabbath, they got the rocks and they stoned them. Are you glad we're not living in Old Testament Judaism, huh? How many of us would be stoned by now? And not from marijuana, not from going to Colorado. No, no. You know, we'd be in deep weeds. And so here's the point. Even though we don't kill someone now for working on the Sabbath, here's the thing. When you and I work on the Sabbath, it produces death in our lives. When you keep violating God's command of working six and resting one, so you're working 7 days a week, week after week, it begins to produce death, a physical death, an emotional death, a mental death, relational death, spiritual death. And that's why God wants us to rest one day a week, because he knows we can't work 7 days a week. He can, but he set a pattern for us. When he created the earth, I'm going to work six, rest one. And that's a pattern he wants you and I to do. Work six, rest one. We find rest when we work six and rest one. Keep the Sabbath. There is a second way we obtain rest. Letter B in your notes, turn your vacation into a holiday. Don't vacate God from your vacation. Don't vacate God from your vacation. In Europe, they don't take vacations. Well, they do, but they call them holidays. They don't call them vacations. They call them holidays. Do you know where the word holiday comes from? It comes from the word holy day. That's where we derive the English word holiday. It's from holy day. And actually, Israel had holy days set up on their calendar. The Sabbath was a holy day. We just read Exodus 35:2. Take a look at it. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you. And not only was the Sabbath a holy day, but they had seven different festivals that were holidays or holy days to the Lord, times when they took a break from their work so they could focus on God, they could celebrate God, they could praise and worship Him, they could repent from their sins, they could bring offerings and exalt Him and recognize His authority and His blessing in their life. What's interesting is that today is one of those holy days in the Jewish calendar, one of those festivals. It's the Feast of Pentecost. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But the Jews had these holy days where they refrained from work, these festivals where they stopped working. And this is what I've seen a lot of times. When we take our holiday, our vacation, you know what we do? We pack it so full of activity that we just push God completely out of the picture. We schedule our day at the beach or at Disney or at the lake or whatever it might be, and we cram our vacation so full that we have no time for God. We don't take any time for prayer, any time for the Word, and we go a week or two and we've spent no time with God. We may even not go to church for several weeks in a row because we're on our vacation, and what we do, we vacate God from our lives. And here's the thing, and this is in your notes this morning, leisure without the Lord is not life-giving. Leisure without the Lord, without spending time with God, is not life-giving. Fun without the Father forms faintness, feebleness, frailty, fragility, and a famished spirit. If you want a rich, fulfilling life, don't vacate God from your vacation. Turn it into a holiday. Include times of worship, personal worship, corporate worship. Don't go this whole summer. Now, here's the thing. You who are here today, that's good. The people who aren't here not hearing this, you need to tell them, hey, listen to this message. Don't vacate God from your vacation. But this is something for us. Make sure you are taking that time with God. It produces a rest that physical rest and pleasure cannot produce. So that's the second component to growing this summer, is rest from activity. The third component that you and I need to grow this summer season is we need to be planted in something bigger than ourselves. You need to be planted in something bigger than yourself. When you buy a plant at a greenhouse or at Walmart, it comes in a small pot. If you leave it in that pot, it's not going to get very big. You need to take it out of that little pot and put it into either a bigger pot or plant it in the ground. You plant it in something bigger than itself. Because when you do, you now give the opportunity for the root system to spread out, for it to receive a greater nourishment from the entire ground, instead of this just little tiny pot that's there. We need to be planted in something bigger than ourselves spiritually if we want to grow. God wants to use you in a powerful way. You maybe don't realize that, but God wants to use you to do something incredible for the kingdom of God. Ephesians says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You realize that you are a masterpiece? We've said this before. You've heard me say it before. You're a masterpiece. Why do I say that? Because the master has created you. Here, you're His workmanship. Any work created by a master is a masterpiece. And when you look at the handiwork of God, what kind of acts does God want to do? What kind of feats of strength, feats of wisdom, feats of power, feats of giving Him glory? He wants you and I to build His kingdom. That's our theme for 2019. Help me preach it this morning. What's our theme? Seek the King. see the kingdom. That's our theme. As we seek Jesus Christ, we're going to see the kingdom of God built here on earth in individual lives, in broken families, broken homes, broken people. God is going to build his kingdom, going to give them righteousness, going to give them peace, going to give them joy in the Holy Spirit, set them free from addictions, deliver them from fear, from anxiety, from anger, from discord in their families, relationships that are falling apart. God will build his kingdom, and he does it through you and I, his body. We are the body of Christ, and God has a great work for us to do. Look at your neighbor and say, you have a great work. You have a great work to accomplish. That is so true. Some of you say, man, I can't pray for my sick coworker. What are they going to think of me? I can't invite someone to the Father's Day bash next week. I can't invite someone to church. I can't help with kids' church. I can't help with youth or be a greeter or sing on the worship team. I can't really do anything for God. And you know what? You're right. You can't. But God never intended you to do his work. He intended you to be empowered by his Spirit to do the work. God wants to do the work through you. In your notes this morning, the Holy Spirit gives us power to do the work. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to do the work. So God is looking for someone who would say, Lord, plant me in your Spirit, and Jesus, let's see what we can do together. Let's see what can take place if I plant myself in you and I let you guide me and direct me, lead me into conversations, lead me into places, lead me into relationships with people that need to know you. God wants to plant you and I. Friends, that's what the Feast of Pentecost was all about. About 2,000 years ago today, the disciples were in an upper room and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. The power of God came upon them, and in one day, 3,000 people received Christ as their Savior. Just 50 days earlier, many of the same crowd were yelling, crucify him. Now they're surrendering their life to him as their King. When you and I seek the power of the Holy Spirit, God enables us to do his work, to build his kingdom in the hearts and lives of people. It's interesting. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 5 and 8, in just a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to Panama, where Abby's going today, to Casper. Some of you feel like, man, we live at the end of the earth. Well, you know what? God said we're going to take his word to the end of the earth. Hey, I can tell you, this is not the end of the earth. I went to college in Allendale, North Dakota. That is the end of the earth, okay? If not, you can see it from there, all right? It's really close, really close. Hey, it doesn't matter where we're at. God can give us power to do his work anywhere. And on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the believers were meeting together in one place, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Jesus wants to give his body, you and I, the same power he had when he was walking on the earth so that we can do his work, so we can heal the sick, so that we can deliver those in bondage, so that we can preach good news to those who are captive, to set those free. God wants you and I to have power. Do you believe that? So many times we let our insecurities and our fears keep us back. And God just wants us to approach the day and say, Holy Spirit, plant me in something bigger than myself. you can use me. Jesus said, the harvest field is plentiful, but the laborers are few. The field is large. It's huge. It's too big for us, but that's okay because God wants to plant you in something bigger and give you power that is more plentiful than the harvest is plentiful. It's interesting, but the Feast of Pentecost, you know what it was? It was a celebration of the harvest. It was a celebration of the harvest. And the day when the Jews are celebrating the harvest that God gave them, God was saying, I'm going to start a new celebration. You see, the harvest is not just grain, but it's the souls of people. And 3,000 people came into the kingdom of God that day. And friends, Pentecost isn't about 2,000 years ago. Pentecost is about today, about seeing people come to Christ. Two things happen when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You receive supernatural power, and you receive a supernatural language. Some people are scared when we talk about tongues, about speaking in a language they don't know, and they kind of think it's weird, it's unusual. Here's the thing, friends. Don't let what you don't understand scare you from seeking power from God. I know sometimes we think, well, God's going to make me look foolish. He's going to have me do something done. You know, why does it have to be speaking in tongues? You know why I think? Because in James, it says that the tongue is an unruly member, and it can set fire. A little word can set a big fire and set a forest ablaze. How many have ever said something and it just, whoosh, it blew up on you? And you said, I wish I wouldn't have said that. And you see, our tongue gets us in a lot of trouble. And I think God says, you've got this member that you feel you can't control. It sets things on fire. But my Spirit can take control of your tongue. And what happens is the Holy Spirit prays through you. The Holy Spirit talks to God through your mouth, through your tongue, and you speak to God. So when you pray in tongues, what's happening is you're not praying, the Holy Spirit is praying. And He's praying for all the challenges you're going to face that day. He's praying for the problems you're going through. He's interceding for your family and your friends that are going through difficult times or that need strength or that need guidance or need wisdom. The Holy Spirit exalts and worships God and magnifies God when you feel you can't yourself. He begins to intercede for you in ways you don't even know how to pray for yourself. When you've prayed and prayed and you run out of words, you begin to pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit builds you up. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it talks about when you pray in a tongue, you strengthen yourself, you edify yourself. But when you prophesy, you edify the body. Earlier in the service, we had a prophecy. Someone talked about exchanging what you have for what God has for you. That's a prophecy. It builds the church. And Paul said, I wish you all spoke in tongues and even more that you all prophesied. What was Paul saying? He says, I want you to have power. Power to be God's mouthpiece. Power to make an impact on society. And this morning, I encourage you to say, God, I want more power than I've got. I need more power. I want more of your activity in my life. I don't know about you, but I don't have enough of God's activity. I want more of God's activity, more of His power. And it comes as I say, God, plant me in something bigger than Craig today. God, help me to take my mind off myself and what I got to do. Plant me in something bigger than what I've got going on. Open doors. Give me opportunities. That's what God is looking from us, His body. Plant me in something bigger. A couple of weeks ago, Connie Gray shared this story with me, and she's given me permission to share about it. A few weeks back, Connie's daughter called her up on the phone, and she was just flipping out. She was freaking out because their neighbor, who is a vet, was just going bananas. He was throwing furniture and stuff out of his house, and he was out in the front lawn just screaming and yelling, going berserk. Connie's grandson came home, and this gentleman, their neighbor, came up to him and said, "I'll give you $45,000 if you shoot me, if you kill me." And he went and told his mom, and his mom called Connie. Connie's daughter called her, and she's just going, "Mom, what do I do?" Connie began praying. The man got in his car, and he drove off, took off. Connie began praying for this man and prayed, "God, I pray he doesn't commit suicide." She began to bind the spirit of suicide, prayed that God would intervene, that God would speak to him, God would spare his life. And the man didn't come home the next day. Connie called her daughter, and it's like he's not home. And he didn't come home for about a week. Connie kept praying for him every day. Finally, the gentleman came home. When he did, Connie just saying, "God, how can I minister to him?" And she felt that the Lord wanted her to send him a book about salvation. It's actually a letter that Connie wrote about salvation many years ago when she was a stay-at-home mom, still had little kids at home. She was saying, "God, I want you to use me, but I can't do much. I've got all these kids at home. What can I do for you?" And God said, "I want you to write a letter about salvation." And so she wrote it, and she felt God say, "Send it to prisoners in prison." So she handwrote this letter, and she began mailing it to prisoners in prison. And after a while, she says, "I got to do something more. I can't write all these letters." So she turned it into a booklet. She got it printed, and for the past several decades, Connie's been sending these booklets to prisons all over America. I believe all 50 states have received these booklets. And God said, "Take that booklet and send it to him." Now, Connie has a problem. She doesn't know the guy's name. Her family doesn't know the guy's name. And so she's praying, and God says, "Address it to the veteran who lives at this address." So that's how she sent it. And she mailed the letter along with the cover letter saying, "Hey, this is a friend in Jesus. You don't know me, but I want you to know I'm praying for you, and God loves you. He knows the pain you've gone through. And God has people at the VA that you can go and talk to, and they'll help you through this, and God cares about you. Please read this book." And that's what she wrote. She just put it in the mail, and she prayed over it. She told her daughter, and her daughter told her son-in-law. And the son-in-law just told him, "Hey, my mother-in-law's sent you this package." About a week later, the vet comes over to the house to Connie's daughter and says, "Hey, I got the package. I read the book. I prayed the prayer at the end. I got saved, and I'm going to church." Yeah. It gets better. On Mother's Day, he comes over and he says to Connie's daughter, he says, "I want to mow your lawn as a present to you for Mother's Day. Oh, by the way, I got baptized today." Yeah. All it took is writing a letter. Stick it in the mail. And there was a man whose life was lost and messed up, has found righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. God can use you. Each and every one of you, a text, a call, a conversation in the supermarket, you see someone who's hurting, someone who's maybe crying, the Holy Spirit prompts you to go up to them and say, "Hey, how you doing? I felt like God wanted me to come and just ask how you're doing. Is there anything I can pray with you about?" Let the Holy Spirit plant you in something bigger than yourself. Friends, if you want to grow, just say, "God, here I am. Plant me in your big harvest field and fill me with your power. Give me your power, God." And he'll do it. This week as I was praying, I felt God say that there are some of you, you are gifted in music. And you are just letting that gift just sit in the background. You're not engaging in music, in worship. God wants to use you. I felt God say some of you have an incredible gift of leadership, but you're doing nothing with that gift. You're just sitting back. You're coming to church. Maybe you're volunteering for a few things, but God has so much more for you. Some of you, God is calling to work with youth or children, but your fear, you're saying, I can't relate to this generation. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. They're going to think I'm weird. God is saying, you can overcome that. God is calling some of you to begin to speak up in your friendships, to speak up at work, to pray for the sick when someone says they're sick or they have a need, for you to pray for that need. And God wants to set some of you free today from fear. He wants to open your eyes to see bigger doors. This morning, if you want God to open doors, to plant you in a big harvest field, I want you just to stand your feet this morning. You want to be part of something bigger than yourself. Just stand up, whatever it might be. If you raised your hand earlier, stand up. If you didn't, but God's speaking to your heart. Some of you say, I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm not baptized in the Spirit. If you want the baptism of the Spirit, I want you to stand your feet this morning. Maybe you're afraid of it. Maybe you don't understand it, but you'd say, I want God to fill me on this day of Pentecost. I want you to stand your feet. And I want you, everyone, lift your hands. If you're standing, lift your hands this morning. Just volunteer yourself. Say, dear Jesus, here I am. I volunteer for whatever you have. I need your power. Fill me with your Spirit to do mighty things for your kingdom and glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.